Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Batting down the hatches and away we go with another edition of the Rod Peterson Show. Hey, you got to get a Stampede Wrestling reference in early, guys. Hey?
Why not?
Love it.
The Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel filling in for the immortal Rod Peterson. Him and Darren DuPont, of course, getting back from the Rod Peterson VIP sports experience in Houston, and they're going to be in airports all day. So here's the deal, folks. They came to me last week, and they said, Nick Lewis is going to be doing the show on Thursday, and it's going to be football. We want you to do the sports show on Tuesday, and we want hockey. So I thought, what better guys than to come in and join me than the Dumba family?
Thank you very much.
We got former pro here and Saskatoon Blade, Jared Dumba, and his dad, Al. Al Dumba, former Regina Pat, former minor league star. But probably, Al, I would have to say, quite frankly, you'll probably be best remembered for the 1993 run that you and Bill Hickey had coaching the Regina Pats to an Eastern Division championship. And, of course, I worked for the Pats and the organization at that time. We had some fun that year, didn't we, Al?
Boy, it was buzzing that year. I'll tell you, I never saw the fans in this city so excited and so crazy about hockey, and couldn't walk on the street during those playoffs without people approaching you and just – so excited about what the Pats' fortunes could have been if we could have just got by Swift Current that year.
Well, you know, Brent Parker and I had a talk one day, and he said, I don't care what anybody says, the loudest that building ever was when Bear Jackman scored that goal in the Memorial Cup, and it was whatever it was, minute and a half left or whatever. And I said, well, hang on a minute, Brent. Louis Dumont scored a goal against the Saskatoon Blades in game... I think it was game four, and to make it 6-5 on a Sunday afternoon game on Easter Sunday. Yeah. I have never heard the Brent Center that loud. Do you remember that? Do you remember that goal?
And just the way I don't remember actual goal itself, because it got to be a bit of a blur for me, Kelly, just being in the middle of that and trying to run the bench and everything that was going on. But what I do know is the way they situated the stands that year, because we had to bring in all the extra stands on both sides of the rink, and it just seemed to close the arena in, and it was more like being in the old Chicago Stadium where you had all the fans on top of each other. And when the crowd got excited, and those, you know, like you said, when we won that series and won the games we did in that series, how wild the fans seemed to be, more so because they were so close to the surface.
Jared, you were a young man at that time. You were a kid. I remember it, though.
I remember those days better than I remember 5 years ago, to be honest. You know, you're a kid, you're just paying attention to everything, and Louis Dumont was one of my favorite players. I loved the way he skated, whereas, you know, it was like his head was trying to keep up with his feet because his feet were so fast. He was, but I remember that goal, and that was, I'd say that was the loudest I've heard.
You know, just getting back to that team was a bit of ahead of its time, because you look at the hockey teams right now, and 80 to 90% of the kids on every team are outstanding skaters. And that's what we had that year with Jeff Shantz and Jeff Friesen and Kerry Biette and Louis Dumont. And you go through the list of players, they were all exceptional
Jason
skaters.
Smith.
And the one kid that maybe didn't have great wheels was Trevor Hannes, but what a set of hands.
Exactly. Very smart, very intelligent player.
Kerry Biette. Lots of good players on that
20
team.
20 goals as a 16-year-old, I believe.
Nathan Dempsey, like good player. Yeah. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Just bringing back so many memories.
Oh, yeah.
Al, you're going to be doing the game tomorrow night. The Kamloops Blazers are in town. I got to tell you something. My cousin's stepson is on the Kamloops Blazers. I believe he's number 40. Dalen Kiefler is his name. So regardless of what happens, make sure you give him a lot of love on the air.
I will.
On the radio.
And his hometown is?
You know, I don't even know where his hometown is, because they're from the Edmonton area.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, they're all watching too.
Okay.
You put me on the spot. But he's from a small.
Okay.
They live in Edmonton now.
Suburbs here though.
But he's from a. I know he played for Red Deer AAA.
Okay.
And his dad Mike is actually best friends with Shane Doan.
Oh.
So through a, yeah. You know what, Dylan's a good player, so he may have got drafted by the Kamloops Blazers anyway.
If he's playing there, he's a good player, and they got a great team. And, you know, the exciting part about the Kamloops coming through is the fans have to realize this, too. It's only every 2 years now these teams come through. You know, we will go to Kamloops next year. So it's, you know, with the split schedule, it's exciting to watch these teams. And we're getting to see Kamloops on a roll now. They're in first place. So we get to see a good team coming through. And it's a good challenge for our hockey club.
So my whole family is making the Saskatchewan drive to watch Dalen play.
Great.
And they're in Moose Jaw tonight. We'll be talking to Al Miller a little bit later on. And they're in Regina tomorrow night. So now what a star-studded cast we have. Folks, I want you to think about this for a second. First, we got Lauren Mullican, okay? Lauren right now is with the Prairie Hockey Academy in Karenport. Then we got Peter Labardius coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then in hour two, we have the president of the Motley Crue Fan Club, Moose Jaw Warrior General Manager Alan Miller will be joining us. And then get ready, because Bob Strum is on the show, the legendary Pats coach and general manager from back in the day. Strummer, always so much fun to talk to, and so the stories are going to be incredible here today, and just going to have a blast. Is Lauren ready?
Not quite?
Okay. So Lauren's going to be joining us here in a few moments. Something happened again, guys, this morning.
Yeah.
Jared, I didn't even realize this when you walked in here.
Yeah.
So the Dallas Stars now are the latest team to throw their name in the hat and fire their head coach.
Yep.
Jim Montgomery, gone.
Gone.
Dallas Stars currently in a playoff spot. So it's not like they're a bad team. They got a good record of 17-11-3, I think.
Yeah, first wild card. First in one game.
So
not bad.
I mean, sample size is pretty small, but they would be in wild card spot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read what I've read on what you and I talked about, Jared, off the air. Due to conduct not in line with the organization's standards. Here we go again.
What does that mean? Like, I don't know. Everything you've ever heard of about Jim Montgomery is that he's just a great guy and a great coach. I know I had some friends, Tarek Hammond, that played at Denver University underneath him, and nothing but good things to say about the guy. The other ones, you'd kind of heard stuff before about these people, and there's been whispers for years. This one kind of came out of the blue, and especially, you know, the team's doing so well. They had the terrible start. What were they, 1-9 or something? 1-8, 1-9?
I don't remember, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
And now they're in the first wild card spot, doing great. And I know you had some comments about Sagan and Ben a week or two ago that people really didn't like. I don't know if it's going to be that. So we're just kind of waiting to hear what's the issue. Is it another kicking a player type thing? Is it something else off ice? What is it? But coaches everywhere got to be going, looking over their shoulder, going, wait a minute, have I done anything? What's going to come back to haunt me?
Well, Al, okay, so you're a former coach.
Yep.
And you know, you coached at a time when it was a lot different then than it is now. Now, so look, I'll put my cards on the table here. I personally agree that they're probably, over the years, the hockey culture, probably, unquestionably, coaches maybe step over the line sometimes. So on the contrary to what people think, folks, you know, you're not talking about, you know, the way that it's a different culture than the way that the CEO of Sask Power talks to his employees.
Completely.
You know, the manager of Walmart doesn't scold the Walmart greeter because he's not being nice enough to people and F-bombs and all this kind of stuff. So I'm willing to concede that the culture is different. It's probably a little bit more like what you'd see in the Army or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, at what point, though, does it become too much, Al, where it's like, you know, so now we're going to start going back like a Bill Peters, where we're going to go back 10 years and find a situation where he's already apologized. The organization didn't have a problem with it at the time. And now 10 years later, a player that isn't exactly a Boy Scout himself has the ability to potentially make it so this guy can never coach again because of something he did 10 years ago? Like, at what point does the pendulum swing, but now it starts coming back? And I just don't. Yeah. When does it stop?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to stop with the society we live in today, in all areas, not just sports. And it's unfortunate. Bill Peters was dead wrong in what he did. Everybody knows that. There's no argument there. Will he get a second chance? You know, we've heard the, you know, NHL players talk about second chances after they've been addicted to certain drugs, whether they're prescription drugs or illegal drugs they've taken, and they're getting second chances. And football players have had second chances, and so forth. So, you know, that part of the, you know, it's a status we've set and a line we've drawn, and it looks like we're going to be following it now moving forward. Do I think it's right? No. And do I think we're better off not having that kind of language? I was very fortunate. When I played professional hockey in the late 70s, my coaches were all gentlemen. They were all good people. We had a lot of fun together. We all got to be good friends. They were part of my team, which really helped me become a coach because I wanted to be part of my team. I wanted to be, you know, I mean, you're not buddy-buddy with junior hockey players, but at the same time, if you can't talk as a friend, you can't build a relationship and you can't work together properly. So I'd never really had, you know, the guy that's in your face that calls you down, that ridicules you in front of your teammates or anything. So I've never agreed with that type of coaching, and I was criticized for it when I coached. They said I was too They said I was too nice a guy at times.
Oh, too nice a guy.
Yeah,
okay,
I was criticized
I
for being too nice a guy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm going, well, wait a second. How are you going to get something out of a player? Can you scream at him all year long? Because I only had one coach in junior that tried that a little bit, and it didn't work that well when you scream all year long. So
I'm the opposite. I've had a number of coaches that coach that way, and you know what? I said this to somebody else. You know, when they do that, when they're calling out players, you know, singling them out in front of everybody, or calling everybody out, or you know, being really hard on you, that's when the captains and the, you know, the older players come together, and the guys kind of get together and they say, well, you know, screw him, you know, let's win
despite of him let's
win. And it kind of brings guys together. Now I don't know if that's what they meant, but I mean, we had thicker skin back then. It was a different growing up.
Oh boy, oh boy. Well, speaking of players, coaches, we're going to be talking to a longtime man or gentleman who's had a reputation of being maybe the ultimate player's coach. We're going out to Karenport in the Prairie Hockey Academy, and Lauren Mullican joining us. Lauren, how the heck are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. Everything's great out here.
Well, that's great. You know, Lauren, I have to tell you that one of the things that a lot of people ask me is, you know, do you ever talk to Lauren Mullican? Like, what's he up to? What's he doing now? So maybe what you can do, just kind of to get the ball rolling here, is maybe let our audience know exactly what you're doing out in Karenport at the Academy and how it sort of came about. How does Lauren Mullican become a coach at a hockey academy after years of coaching in the Western Hockey League and in the National Hockey League?
Well, Kelly, first off, I don't know if you can see the T-shirt that I'm wearing. It says Holy Toledo, and after we used to beat the Fort Wayne Comets.
Oh, once, Mooner.
It's already starting.
About a year ago, just before that, we had a charity hockey game in Moose Jaw for young Evan Thomas, one of the young boys that we lost in the bus accident with Humboldt, and Lloyd Friesen, who has been a person that's been involved out at Karenport with the high school, with the Bible College for a number of years, asked if I would ever want to get involved in Prairie Hockey Academy, and I really had no interest, in coaching a group of young guys or being involved. That retired, and we'd spent our winters for a number of years down in Mexico, and time went by, and I got a phone call from the president, Justin Simpkins, and I drove out to Karenport. I met with him. I watched a practice. He introduced me to the players, and just listening to him about the values that they teach these young men out here, I wanted to be a part of it, and that's how it all started, and it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Well, that's interesting, Lauren. I remember talking to you. I don't know if you'll remember this conversation or not, but I remember speaking to you about 2 years ago, and I asked you point blank. I said, you know, do you miss it though? I mean, you came out of a Vancouver situation, you know, Saskatoon, and you've been coaching for a number of years. And most of the coaches that I know, they'll tell you, like, that competitiveness never really goes away. And I said, do you miss being in hockey? And you said something to the effect of, I miss being in hockey, but I really don't have any desire to be in a different city every night and flying all over the world and moving my family. But this seems like a good spot for you then, because, you know, you get to work with young kids and you've always loved working with kids. You get to coach and be in that competitive environment, but you get to stay in Saskatchewan. So is that a fair read on my part? Was that part of the decision? Is those types of situational type things?
Well, I think the biggest reason we came back from the NHL was our family. And that's something that is a staple out here in Karen Port and how we approach the players each and every day. And yes, being close to our grandkids is probably the most important thing in the world to me right now. But it's a great place out here. It's a very special place. Led by Justin Simpkins, who is our president, Micah Abbott, the head coach of the 15-year-old team, Eric Robitaille, one of the assistant coaches, Daryl Osborne, who does our analytics for us, and then Scott King, who is an assistant coach with the Moose Jaw Warriors, is our technical director. So it's given me an opportunity, and one of the things that I'm part of a team, and the staff out here is a staff that is totally committed to make the players or these young people better people. And, you know, in my year out here, never do we talk about winning. I mean, winning is important, but never, that's not the number one focus. The number one focus is developing these young men into better people. And there's so many different programs that the players participate out here. And as coaches, we do too. So as old as I am, Kelly, I'm still learning, and it's been a real, real pleasure.
You know, these academies, though, I mean, all you have to do is take a look at the number of kids that are drafted in the Western Hockey League, and you know, many of these guys in the higher rounds, they're getting drafted, by the academies. So it's something that, you know, you didn't see and hear about too much 10 to 15 years ago, but this thing's really taken on a huge life here the last few years. I mean, and what do you think the biggest reason for that is? Is it the one-on-one time, the fact that they treat hockey almost like a subject in school, so there's more ice time? Is it a combination of all of those things?
I think it's a combination of everything. I think, number one, all of the programs have tremendous coaching. The players are on the ice every day. There's weight coaches, nutrition coaches, mental coaches. So, you know what? It's like I said, it's a great environment, especially out here in Karenport. I mean, we all know it's a Christian school out here, and the values that these young men learn are very, very important as they move forward in life. And we have a class out here called Humble Strong. And it's taught by two gentlemen, Kirby Court and Stan Peters. Stan is the athletic director out here, but we don't miss these classes as coaches. There's three pillars to Humble Strong, and it's character, learning, and growth, and just watching the players interact with the instructors. It's truly amazing. Last week, before we left to go to Calgary, the boys all. Most of the boys had an opportunity to stand up in front of their teammates and talk about what Humble Strong means, what PHA means to them, talk about their family. And it got pretty emotional, and it was pretty special.
Lauren, I really didn't want to get into this with you here today, but this morning we find out that...
You're going anyway.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I have always heard, I have never heard one player, not one player, ever say anything but kind things about the way you treated them. And when you come back to place, in fact, you know, I can't read them all, but I look up at the board and there's messages coming from Moose Jaw. There's messages coming from Regina. There's messages coming from Saskatoon. People really appreciate, you know, players, billets, all have always appreciated that you treated the players with respect, and you should be commended for that, because that's maybe not always the case. And now this morning, we find out that the Dallas Stars now are the most recent team that's fired their coach because of conduct that, you know, maybe isn't quite, you know, fitting to their organization's values. And you talked about Kerenport here recently, and the, you know, the commitment is to grow these people into young men. Do you, as somebody that now is sort of not so much on the outside looking in, because you're still involved in hockey, but you're not in the NHL or the Western Hockey League, do you think that it's a good thing that now there's more emphasis being put on the way players are being treated? Or do you think maybe the pendulum has swung too far the other way? I mean, I'm asking a guy who's got an impeccable record for treating people well. So how do you look at this whole picture and the craziness going on right now?
Well, I think first off, Kelly, I think, you know, one of my philosophies was always to try to treat the players the way I like to be treated. And sure, I had some hard-nosed coaches, and I've seen a lot of things, you know, and I've probably said and done a lot of things along the way. But in the end, whenever a player would leave the office we would want to make sure that he's feeling good about himself when he left, because, you know, there's so many pressures on young people today in the outside world. I think that you know, coaches in hockey that I can speak, you know, have to be tremendous role models for these young guys. And you know, out here, like I said, it's a learning situation, even for myself, being around, you know, the rest of the staff and the players and the high school and the college. It's great. And you know, I don't think there's no spot or no place in the game for any type of racism. You know, and certainly you know, over the years, you coaches hold players, they try to hold players you know, accountable, but some of them do it in a different way, and some of them have been very, very successful. So you know, for me, it's about treating people with respect, and I think when you do that, you tend to get more out of them.
I agree, and I always think about, you know, I get invited every year to come to the Moose Jaw Warrior Golf Tournament, and even after all of these years, Lorne, I mean, how long has it been, for crying out loud? It's been 16 or 17 years since you were there. They still welcome you there with open arms. And, you know, the players, every time that they, you know, I watch you and the Scott Reeds and the Scott Barnstables and, you know, all of these different players, Blair Atchenham said some kind words at one of their dinners a few years ago. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. You have made a big difference in those people's lives, and the friendships that you've made along the way, I know, mean a lot to you. And now you're doing that for the kids out in Kerenport, and I think that's absolutely great. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show here today. Al Dumba has a question for you here before we sign off.
I just have a statement. Statement. Mooner, you've come a long way from the Toledo Gold Diggers.
Well, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure running into Al at the Pat games. We sit, we talk about a lot of old times. And yesterday when I was in Regina out of Costco, I ran into Drew Callender. So, you know, it's being a part of a team and having tremendous teammates, it's something that, as a hockey player, you'll never, ever forget.
One last question. People want to know, where did you get the nickname Mooner?
Well, it goes back to when we were growing up in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. And at that time, my dad owned the taxi, and he owned the pool room, the billiard hall. And at that time, all the Weyburn Red Wings would go there and play pool. And every Sunday, my dad would sit us down in the barber chair in the old pool room down there. And out come the Clippers, and we'd be right down to the wood. There'd be no hair left. So the players nicknamed my dad Full Moon. I was Half Moon, and my brother was Quarter Moon. And we weren't very happy come Monday morning going to school.
Fantastic stuff. Hey, Lauren, thanks so much. You were the first guy I thought of when they told me that we wanted hockey people and you're hosting. You're the first guy I thought about. And I want to thank you very much for coming on with us this morning.
Well, thanks, Kelly, very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Glad we could talk a little bit about the academy out there in Karenport. I'm being told we have to pay some bills, so we're going to do that, and we're going to come back here in a few minutes. You're watching the Rod Peterson New Day with New Lips. The Rod Peterson Show. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Don't go away.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, folks. Sports on tap for the tap. Regina's only drive-through liquor store. The Dallas Stars have fired their head coach, Jim Montgomery, due to unprofessional conduct inconsistent with the core values of the organization. Assistant coach Rick Bonas was named the team's interim head coach for the team. The Stars were 16-4-2 in their last 22 games. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have announced that they have signed Regina-born offensive lineman Patty Neufeld to a one-year extension following their recent Grey Cup victory. The fate of a private group's bid to bring the CFL to Halifax could be decided today by Regional Council. Council will consider a staff report on a proposal by Schooner Sports and Entertainment to build a $110 million 24,000-seat stadium at a site in Shannon Park. Eli Manning isn't done yet. Neither are the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz rallied the Eagles from a 14-point deficit, tossing a two-yard touchdown pass to Zach Ertz in overtime to lead Philadelphia to a 23-17 win over the New York Giants on Monday night. Sports on tap for the tap in Regina.
Take a breather, Kel.
Good job,
man,
Kel.
Oh, man. I got nervous before looking down and seeing I had to read all that. I was expecting two or three lines. See, I'm going to dedicate that segment to Mrs. Parsons, my grade one and three teacher.
Perfect.
Maybe if I'd have studied a little harder and I would have taken my reading more seriously, I wouldn't get nervous before having to read a board.
That's
that
what oratory was for. Can you do oratory?
I'd rather pluck my eyebrows with an axe than read in front of people, much less 6,000 or 7,000 or 10,000 people, and then however many download the show later. So anyway, here's a question for you. Let's go out to the Daily Poll, Capital Auto Mall, and Universal Collision Center. Just to be clear, the last 7 or 8 vehicles that I have purchased, and this is no lie, is from the gang at Capital Unbelievable service. Go to UCC. See my friend PJ. If you get a fender bender, there'll be a few of those out there this week, I'm sure. Here's a question, and let's talk about this, guys. Is selling the future worth it for junior hockey teams to make a championship run? So far, yes, is dominating. Almost 61% of fans say, you're darn right, go for it. You get a chance to win a championship, do it. And then about 39% say, you know what, just too much pain and agony along the way. I don't know. I can see both. I understand both ways.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I personally, myself, I would rather see a team try to win a championship. When you have a unique opportunity and you have a really good hockey team and you have a chance to be playing hockey in mid to late May, I think you got to do whatever you got to do to try. But I can also see where when it typically means that for potentially 2 or 3 or 4 years after that, you're in a situation like the Broncos and Warriors and Pats are in. I can see where some that would wear fans out after a while. So I get both. Al, you're nodding your head.
I just want to add to this, Kelly. You know, this could be made so much easier, but for some reason in the Western Hockey League, there's a stigma between the owners and the management of all the teams that they don't want to help each other out. They hold each other ransom. You go to the Quebec League, you got Noah Dobson playing in a Memorial Cup, 3 years in a row? Because he keeps getting traded to the best team. They keep moving the best players around to make them the most competitive when it comes to Memorial Cup time. In the Western Hockey League, in the Western Canada, I almost said, but that was my days, it's almost like you better give up the farm. You have to sell your future for 4 or 5 years to make yourself competitive. And nobody will let you off the hook. Nobody will give you a break. There's no friendships. If you win a Memorial Cup and you're the neighboring team, the other team's going to be jealous. You don't win a Memorial Cup very often. It's happened in the U.S. back in the late 70s. It happened in Kamloops. It happened, you know, but there's not a lot of teams that consistently can run. So when you have an opportunity, I can see that happening where you're going to say, yes, we're going to have a chance to win a Memorial Cup. It's been 40 years since we've won one. Let's try go all out and do it. This was a perfect storm against the Pats this time when we hosted the Memorial Cup.
Three Southern Saskatchewan teams. They put all their chips in the middle of that table. They were all, for the first, my memory is pretty good for this stuff.
And
correct me if I'm wrong, I don't ever remember all three, Regina, Moose Jaw, and Swift Current, all being three of the best teams in the Western Hockey League, all in the same season. And because, and we'll ask Al Miller when he joins us here at the top of the next hour, I guarantee you the fact that they were in Regina and it was a unique year played into all three teams' decision to do whatever they had to do to give themselves the best chance. But now all three teams are struggling and there's no end in sight for at least a couple of years. But I agree with you, Al. But, in fact, Jared, before we get to you, I'll just let the fans know on the Prairie Mobile text line, our buddy Shea Paisley out there for Prairie Mobile, give us a text at 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Let us know what you think as a Western Hockey League fan. Is it worth going for a championship and potentially maybe not being a real good team for a long, long time? Jared?
Well, you know, I was going to say, you said three of the best teams in the league. Those were three of the best teams in the country.
They were the three best in the Western League, for sure.
And the Memorial Cups here. I think where they kind of, where it made it worse off was that all three of them were so good. So then they kind of got into a competition where, well, Swift Current's going to add this. Now Regina has to add this. Well, if Regina's adding this, Moose Jaw better add this. And then Moose Jaw's adding this. So, you know, it's just a cycle. So they had to add more and more and more to try and be better than those other guys. If one of them was just good, they wouldn't have had to sell so much and to be that much better than the other guys.
But it was also a crazy year for the asking price because of that. It's like anything else. It's like real estate.
Yeah.
When you have more buyers than sellers, what happens to the price? And so you had all these teams, namely the three right here, that were willing to almost do whatever they had to do. Yep. And so teams like Brandon and some of these other teams are sitting back going,
yep,
bring up that price.
Pony, I mean, Moose Jaw's going to give me this. Swift said they'll give me this. What are you going to give me, John Paddock? Yep. That's exactly what.
And in my mind, the biggest problem the Pats had was the year before they were first place in the league. They had a first place team, and they had to host Memorial Cup the next year. Normally, a team that's hosting Memorial Cup next year that has an Adam Brooks and a Connor Hobbs, knowing they're not going to be back the next year, would have traded those players. They could have traded those two players for probably four or five quality players to help boost that team the next year to possibly help us win a Memorial Cup. How do you trade your best players off a team that's in first place? You can't. Your hands are tied. So the Pats, again, getting the Memorial Cup after having the best team that they had in 25 years or whatever it was, hard to make those trades and hard to boost yourself and get yourself ready. So we really actually put ourselves in a position where the next year we had to trade even more so, more depth, more draft picks to try to get back what we couldn't trade the year before for that Memorial Cup team.
When you don't lose at home, sorry to interrupt, when you don't lose at home till early to mid-January, it's tough to sell to your fans that, hey, we're going to sell. We're going to be sellers this year, you know, it was 3 weeks later.
Well, I remember back when the Pats hosted the Memorial Cup, whatever, 20 years ago, the following season, I believe the plan was originally to move Hubber and Philip Novak and Garth Murray and move those guys and restock the cupboards, but there they are in first place. And Brent Parker's probably thinking to himself, I can't move these guys now. We're in first place the year after the Memorial Cup.
Yep.
I have to keep those guys.
Yep.
But the problem is that when you get seduced by your record a little bit and you deviate from your plan, it can come back and haunt you. And it was, what, 5 years? Yep. And they got bumped in the first round to Moose Jaw. So, but you know what?
Yep.
Here's the thing. And here's the thing. The reality is this. You don't know how the movie ends. If Brent knew back then that they were going to get eliminated in the first round, he probably would have moved those guys.
Yeah.
If Al Miller knew last year that they were not going to beat the Saskatoon Blades and they were going to be ravaged by injuries at the end of the year, he probably would have moved Almeida or Langan or some of those players. But you don't know.
Hindsight is
20-20. You got a 40-win team, and are our fan base going to think that we're a bunch of idiots if we have a chance to like maybe do something in the playoffs and we move our best players? I don't know what the answer is, but I can tell you this. You know, there is no right or wrong. Like you can't, there's no book and manual that says, well, here's what you do, because everybody's going to go about their business a little bit differently, right?
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
What are you going to do?
It's a personal call. It's just you got to go by feel. And, you know, the situations that we said, I think it was quite obvious that they had to stick with what they had.
Well, here's an interesting comment by Chris Clark up on that Prairie Mobile text line. Easy for me to say. What also hurts is the WHL changing the trade rules the year after hosting the Memorial Cup. Now you can't move those young guys. If they're in school, you can't move them. They have to ask for a trade. I'm not saying I even disagree with that, because I think that, you know, when kids, I mean, on one hand, the league puts this major emphasis on education, but then they're happy to move 16 and 17-year-olds all over the country in the middle of their exam. So I get it, but that's also going to make it more difficult moving forward to have those great championship teams. Carlo, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Balazzo, I think it is. He follows me on Twitter at Silver Fox Talks. It still boggles my mind that the Pats never traded Eberle and Tubert. Oh, here we go again. It sets them back tremendously, as they could have gotten a king's ransom for them. Well, that's what the narrative has always been on that, Carlo. But if you talk to Brent Parker or Todd Ripplinger, they'll tell you that they were really disappointed that the price that they were going to get for those guys wasn't bigger. I think they thought that they were going to get a windfall of talent. When that didn't happen, they thought, well, we'll just keep them if that's all that's being offered. You talk to the Blades or the Wheat Kings, and they'll say, I remember Kelly McCrimmon in a scout room one time saying, didn't offer them enough. Are you kidding me? We offered him lots, and they didn't take it. So I know Al Miller, same thing, though, with Braden Point.
Well, yeah. there's
he wanted to trade Braden Point.
Yeah.
But when the asking price was almost insulting, he's like, well, if that's all that I'm going to get for the arguably the most dynamic player in the country, I'm just going to keep him.
And there's rumors too that that they talked to Eberle, and Eberle didn't, he wanted to finish his career here, and he thought that they were going to make the playoffs that year and be successful. So you know they did have a pretty good team.
And don't forget, at the trading deadline, they traded a first round draft pick to bring Ashton in that year too, thinking that they might, if they can make the playoffs, they could hopefully make a run, because they had a pretty good nucleus of players, but for whatever reason it didn't come together.
Four World Junior players.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what we can all agree on. If you're Brent Parker back in, you know, the day, or you're Al Miller or John Paddock or whoever, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Because the people that didn't like what you did are going to make a lot more noise than the people that did. So you can't win.
And with Eberle, Tubert, Ashton, and I think there was a, was there a Swedish kid or something, that four World Junior guys. When's the last time a team with four World Junior players didn't make the playoffs?
Well, good point. Yeah, that's almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to pay a few more bills. We're coming back with Peter Loubardius, the man, the myth, the Greek legend. Let's get it on. I can't wait. Take a short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. Stay with us.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and tune in. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
We're back on the Rod Peterson Show. My name is Kelly Rempel. They call me the Silver Fox. Well, you know what? Let's be honest. They call me a lot of things. That's probably one of the kinder things that they call me. So I negotiated myself a deal in the break. I begged producer Clark. I said, Clark, if you are willing to not make me read another one of those like long-winded sports stickers, courtesy or sponsored by the Tap, I'm willing to give Jared and Al Dumba a couple of $25 tap gift certificates and give them all kinds of love. Hey. And he went for the deal.
I like that deal better, too.
So there you go, Al. Make sure your son gets one of those.
Hey,
that's what... Thank see, like, much. This is not a cheap organization
that
here.
That is awesome.
You come on this show, you get a $25 gift certificate there just for showing up.
You know what? And being a South Ender, I don't get up to the tap as often as I'd like, so this is a great reason, a good excuse to get up there.
I have been getting up to the tap a lot more recently. Business meetings up there, and I had no idea how great it was. I've been there before. I knew it was good, but the more often you go, the better it gets.
Vern's Pizza. Hey, did you have you ever been to Ballers?
Oh yeah, I love Ballers.
That place is awesome.
You go have a cold beer, and then you hit a few balls, and then you play a few games, and you have another cold beer, some wings, watch a game.
We had our staff party there this year. My son, who's never swung a baseball bat in his life, the driving force. He gets in the batting cage, didn't even know, like, really how to hold a bat. I mean, he just hasn't never played baseball.
Yeah.
Just hammering it. Put the thing up to, like, the second highest, fastest level, and he's just drilling the ball. I said,
get that kid in baseball.
We should have put you in baseball.
Well, let's go.
Just had a great time at Ballers. But Ballers, tap, great spots.
Yeah.
Peter Labardius, the Mad Greek. Joining us. Where's Peter? There he is. Well, apparently we're having trouble with Peter's audio. See, this is the kind of, this is live television, folks. We don't have the benefit of going back and, like, you know.
Rewinding.
That's right. We don't have an editing suite here where we can make this thing look like it's, I mean, we're live. Let's just maybe while Peter's rebooting, I think that's what the problem is. He's going to have to reboot and come back.
Well, Tyler Gross is asking if I can use my $25 ticket to take him to the tap for a business lunch. You betcha, buddy. You betcha.
What does Gross need a free lunch for? He's probably got 100 of those things in his desk over here.
He's probably the one that handles them.
No kidding.
Good idea, yeah.
No kidding. By the way, before we go back to Lou... let us know on the Prairie Mobile text line. Do you guys know Shea Paisley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got Shea a phone from him. Great guy.
Great guy. That's right. My whole family's always gotten our phones from Prairie Mobile.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that all the sponsors are, I'm not even making this stuff up. I actually do get my stuff from them.
Yeah.
But Shea, my wife and I were going to a show last year in Vegas. And Shea was on the trip. He was going, you know, to do whatever Shea does. I don't even want to know what he does there. To be honest with you, I mean, he's a single guy, he goes to Vegas, has a great time. But I told him, I said, the next time I go to Vegas with you, I want you to show me the underbelly. I don't want the glitz and glamour. I want to know what really goes on in that town. He just laughs. He laughs. But let us know on the Prairie Mobile text line what you think about, could we just put the graphic up, guys? We're talking junior hockey. We're talking about whether or not that you think on the daily poll today, is it worth selling the future for junior hockey teams to have one or a championship run? In other words, do you move all your chips in the table and surround your lineup with all-star type players to give yourself one chance to win a championship, even if it means that you might struggle for a number of years? And so far, our fans, fairly convincingly, 58% are saying yes. Anytime you have a chance to win a championship, you go for it. 42% saying, you know what? It's just not worth it to go through sitting in a rink watching a bad hockey team for 4 or 5 years. Not a bad hockey team. A young, developing hockey team that's not going to win a lot of games. Not worth it. Al Dumba and Jared Dumba. Actually, well, you said... What did you guys say about that? You like it, right, Al? You say go for it?
I think you have to go for it because it might be another 25, 30 years till you really get an opportunity to do it again. So I don't mind going for it. I just sometimes I like to build your team and then go for it and not have it thrown in your face by hosting Memorial Cup because now you're forced into going to it and sometimes your pieces aren't ready. You have to build your team properly from the bottom up, and then when you go for it, you only might have to add one or two key pieces when you have a really good team built. And again, that's my point about the year we won the league, the year before we hosted Memorial Cup. We had built up a really good team. We couldn't give up those couple pieces to make ourselves that much better to win it that year because we had to host it the next year. So it was a perfect storm, like I said, against us that year, unfortunately.
I think we have Peter now, don't we? Peter, do we have you?
Well, I can hear you beautifully. I have absolutely no idea if you can see or hear
yes,
me.
We got yes, we can. We can. We can see half of you.
You can see half
there,
of
now me. We go. There we go. Now we can see all of you, Peter. Darn close, anyway. How you doing?
You know what? There's nothing I love more than technical things, as you know, through all these years.
It's my forte as well, Peter.
Yeah, it's an absolute beautiful thing. Well, you know what? I think it's sunny here in Arizona. I'm a little foggy this morning, but outside of that, I see that you got two great people right beside you, which makes me think of some of the happiest hockey people memories I could ever have. So it's a good way to start my day. And the host isn't bad either. He's okay.
Okay. On the Prairie Mobile text line, it's been lighting up here. We're having an interesting debate. There is no right or wrong answer, so you can't go wrong no matter how you answer the question. I think I know what you're going to give me for an answer, but I'd be curious to get your thoughts, Peter. Is it worth the price when you have a really good team, but you think you might need an extra piece or two or three to put you over the hump to legitimately give yourself a chance to win a championship, but you know that you have to trade young players, all-star caliber future players, first and second round picks, and there's going to be a huge price to be paid down the road. Are you making that call, Peter? Are you going for it, or are you going to hold back and say, you know what, it's just not worth it for all of the grief and all of the losing that's going to come in the next 4 or 5 years? Sorry. Where do you sit on this?
Well, Kel, we've had this conversation a number of times, and I don't think there's really an easy answer because of the fact of the matter is I think the marketplace that you're in makes a big difference. My philosophy really is this. You try to build around two age groups the best that you possibly can and give yourself an opportunity to try to win a championship. Now, does that work for everybody? Is that what everybody wants? Maybe not. But in sports, I've only cared really about one thing, winning and giving my team, if I was ever or if I'm ever in that position, an opportunity to win. But you have to do it the right way. And I think if you put it together the right way, and it's so, so difficult, which is what people don't understand, how difficult it is, especially, you know, at the junior level where, A, you're dealing with it's cyclical. You're dealing with very young people. It can be difficult. Even if you draft incredibly well now, are they going to come to your marketplace? So there is no real easy answer. I'd like to give you one. But, you know, I grew up in Saskatoon. One of the reasons I'm on this show, one of the reasons I love junior hockey so much, has a lot to do in part with my love affair as a young person with the Saskatoon Blades. Have the Saskatoon Blades ever won the Western Hockey League championship since its infancy? The answer is no.
No.
It's no. Have the Regina Pats won a championship since the year 1980? Now, were they incredibly close? And I just heard Al talk about the Memorial Cup. Well, the Pats did a terrific job hosting the 100th MasterCard Memorial Cup, which it was at that particular time. But in many ways, I think it cost John Paddock and company potentially the 2017 title because they were caught in the middle. They were trying to be the best they could in what was an incredible year in 2017. And I guarantee you they might not move a couple of their older guys that they ended up missing, I think, especially as that playoff went on and in the series against a heavy Seattle team. So it's incredibly, incredibly difficult to win. It's hard to build teams. And I think it's more difficult now in many ways because people scout so well, they evaluate, everybody is all in. There's so many good organizations. And the other thing is, here's what else you need. You need some good fortune, too.
Well, Peter, I agree with you 100%. And probably getting to your point, I would agree that you know, having to host the Memorial Cup to me is a biggest issue at all, because as soon as you're the host team, you're named the year before, now all the pressure's on you. And if you're not a, all of a sudden, if you lose two games in October, you're already saying, oh, they're going to take Memorial Cup away from this team because they're not good enough. I mean, there's so much pressure throughout a whole season to put on a team. I'm not sure which having this host team is the best for these hockey clubs either, down, especially for long term after.
Well, Al, as you know, it's been around for a long time, and Kelly and I have had this conversation a million times, and the fact of the matter is the host team is there for business. We're at a time in junior hockey, to be frank, on a national level, sometimes, you know, even in your own communities, where it seems to be as difficult to sell as it ever has been, with the amount of hockey on television, TVs, and the way that they're made. And, you know, the kids of today, I don't think have the same kind of investment sometimes in the product that, you know, when I grew up, when Kelly grew up, you know, even when Jared grew up. I mean, it's a very, very different time. So business really, really matters. And in so many ways, the product, it has changed. The people who play the product has changed. But I can tell you this. And gentlemen, we all watched it in the last couple of years. When this product is really good, it's hard to beat. It really is. When I go back to that series, you know, Seattle-Regina a couple of years ago, I mean, that was just a fabulous game six to overtime. You know, there's been a lot of great, great series in recent times, but junior hockey is going through a very interesting scenario. I mean, you take a look at television and your opportunity to watch the Western Hockey League on television. Well, when things went awry with Shaw Television, you know, the Western Hockey League hasn't been in a position yet to have a new TV contract. And with that TV situation, they've lost 50 to 60 games during the season to have people watch their product. That, like, it's a difficult time, but, you know, this is also where you need to keep digging in and doing your best and sometimes doing it a little bit different.
Peter, you've had a couple of epic rants on recent radio in cities like Calgary and Vancouver. I'm hoping I get a quarter or a half of how much
quarter
of how you feel. So today, Peter, there's another shoe has dropped with the Dallas Stars. So Jim Montgomery fired. Apparently, Peter, his conduct wasn't in line with the organization's standards.
Right.
When is this going to end? Like, is there a finish line to this? Are people that made mistakes 10 and 15 years ago now, is every single one of these guys walking on eggshells saying that, you know, if an Akeem Alou type comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, he was mean to me 10 years ago, you're out of a job? Like, I don't know. Take it away, Lou.
Well, I'm going to try my best. I'll be honest, the last couple of weeks, at times I've been heartbroken. You know, sports, hockey in particular, has given me more than I could ever give it. It's been a lifesaver. It's helped me through some incredibly difficult times. As the three people that are sitting in the room that you're in, who I care about deeply, who I made relationships with and long-lasting relationships through hockey. Sport, I still believe, is a great teacher. It has incredible people in it, and I'm very sad. I'm very sad, but this isn't about hockey for me. This is about society. This is about, in many ways, bridging together different generations, people who have learned differently, people who have more tools. And we live in a bit of a, frankly, a mob mentality where it is incredibly easy to pile on when it suits many people and suits many people's agenda. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of what's going on in our society. Are there things that you cannot say and do? Yes. I've been on the earth for 54 years, and I have no trouble on this show or any other show saying that I've been through hard stuff, and I've made mistakes, And do I always treat people the best I possibly can in every situation? And even when I try to, is it received the way I want it to be? No. But as a society, one of these days, we better start doing something that we haven't done for a little while. And that is, get out of your own bloody shoes and get into somebody else's. And start to think and have a little compassion and empathy. And until you are perfect, and I've yet to meet anybody that's perfect. I like some people. I don't like some people. I wish some people better path, better fortune than others. But apparently, everybody has a big rock in a glass house. Now, if we really want to get to a better place, then we need to have hard conversations. And we better understand, as a human race, that nobody is perfect. Now, when we start caring and having a little more compassion and empathy for our neighbor, for our friends, for people we don't know, then it's not going to get better. If we would rather pile on and tell everybody that, first of all, we all know how to live their life better than they do, then this is going to continue. But if you want to have some real conversation, then let's dig in. Let's dig in as people. Let's dig in as a society. And let's actually show with our actions that we care. Because I'm not seeing enough caring. And I'm seeing a lot of piling on. And I'm seeing some piling on from places that people have, trust me, no reason to start with the megaphone in some rally. Let's be real.
Can't stand, Peter. I got my mic in front of me, but good job. That's
Peter, the board.
Listen, I'm just going to add one quick thing, okay? Because this is really important. I had an incredible conversation with Theron Fleury last week.
Oof.
An incredible conversation. And we don't ever want to be in the places, most of us, that he has been. It's a battle. It's an unfair battle. He fights it every single day. And in my conversation, a podcast I did with him last week, if that person can have compassion and empathy coming from where he has come from and what he has endured and dealt with,
no kidding,
then I think we could all have a little compassion and empathy for others, can't we?
I'm not going to read the names, Peter, but I'm looking at the board. Preach on, Lou. Love it. Great rant, Lou. Well said, my man. Lou is 100% correct. A bunch of thumbs up. What a straight shooter Lou is. Love it. Man, and that's boards scrolled through about six times. I've been on this show now for over a year. I have never seen the board light up like that. You know, everything that you are saying is striking such a chord with people. I don't know what else I can say, Peter. That was fantastic. And social media, like, let's be honest. Twitter is turned into just a mean and nasty place. Social media is it was probably intended for people to share opinions and share stories, and there's some good stuff on there, like the dog that rescues the guy from the lake. But there's just so much crap on there. I gotta turn it off sometimes and just walk away from it for a while because I just can't take it.
Well, listen, whether it was Facebook, whether it was Twitter, there's all a lot of good. A lot of good. But again, we need to check human spirit at the door and get to a better place. And listen, do I think social media puts pressure on people? I do. Do I think every day when we take a look sometimes at what house someone has or what trip they're going on or what they're doing, do I think that that puts some internal pressure on humans? I do. But I'm really lucky. I have some incredible people in my life who challenge me every single day to try to be better and to think better. And the person that I love so much has one great line, and she has a few. And she says, for humans, what's enough? What's enough? And do I have to ask myself that question every day? Yes. what's enough. But I know this. Sport, the human spirit, can be so beautiful. What people have the strength to deal with. When I was at the rink a few weeks ago and you see young people under the age of 13 who are battling and dealing with cancer, and you think about those families. My father-in-law is battling cancer. We've all been touched. We've all lost people. Adrian Secundiak of the Estevan Bruins back in the day, all-time Bruins leading scorer, battling terminal brain cancer. Now, again, you know, it's easy to say, okay, think about those situations. But it's not always easy to do that in our pressure-filled everyday life. But again, if you're going to ask hard questions, you better be prepared for hard answers. And I'm just a little tired of people using some of those forums to tell the world how smart they are and how perfect they are. Because you know what? You're not.
Agreed.
I'm not. Nobody in that room is. Clark isn't.
Hey.
Nobody is.
He's yelling better in my ear. Tell Lou that's not true. He said he's the only one that's perfect, but hey, you know.
Well, if he was perfect, my pay for this show would be a little more, but that's okay.
All of ours would be, Lou. We're volunteers for crying out loud.
But we're all volunteers, and you know why we do it?
Because we love it.
For one reason. Because we love it, and we love the people that we go on with a lot of the time, and I love being on this show for one reason. It's about one thing. Everything's about one thing. People. People.
Right,
let's love people.
Peter, we love your passion that you bring to this show. It's just awesome. I can't wait to see you again, hopefully shortly after the new year. When my family gets back from a little holiday, I'm going to go get up to Calgary and can I say, epic rant, great stuff. Thanks for coming on, Lou.
Thanks.
Peter,
thanks.
Enjoy the
Merry
desert.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Love you guys, and all the best to everybody. And, you know, as the great J.R. Foley would say, for a change, let's get back to letting the good times roll. Bye, guys.
A second Stampede Wrestling reference today. Okay, we got Al Miller coming up. We got a roll coming up right after the break, so don't go anywhere, Al. Al Miller, the Moose Jaw Warriors. Let's roll.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.